Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hello, it's Chris.
Hey everybody, what's up and welcome to this week's episode of Chris vs. the People. I'm your host, Chris Clemens, and you are the people. This past weekend was in fact Mother's Day, and so today's episode is going to be all about our wonderful, our brave, our sometimes putting up with too much bullshit mothers who make the world go round. I just want to say, like, shout out to my mom. She carried the role of two parents for so many years with three kids. And I mean, I can barely take care of two dogs. So I don't know how she did it and still made life feel magical for all of us. I just have such a huge respect for mothers, women. I mean, just some of the most powerful, persistent, and resilient people on the planet, creatures on the planet. Like, I just have the utmost respect. I love you, Mom. Thank you for giving me this life. Although if I read the news, I may be rethinking that. Thank you. But in all seriousness, I really am just so grateful to all of the moms out there who are just fierce and feral for their people. It really is just such a beautiful thing, and I've learned so much from wonderful mothers. So anyways, like I said, this episode is going to be all about our moms, and I think we have some pretty fun stories we're in for. One of them, I do think, is someone hitting their mom with a car on accident. Ever since we got a producer, I don't really, like, know a ton of information about these calls, so I'm very excited. I heard this is going to be a fun episode. I hope everyone had a wonderful Mother's Day. Now, before we get to those calls, I want to remind you to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts if you haven't yet. And if you like video episodes, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can just search Chris vs. the People. We're almost at 30,000 subscribers. A third of the way to 100. Well, like, still under a third, but, like, you know, in my head, with my math, it's like a third. So that's very exciting. Be sure to subscribe. And then if you could go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and rate this 5 stars and leave a nice review, that really helps us out tremendously. And then lastly, as always, we're going to be recording the Chris vs. the People after show over on Patreon, where we are going to have extra calls and we're going to be smoking something good and just talking about the episode. It's going to be super fun. If you want to be somebody on a future episode, the link to fill out a Google form is in the description of any episode at all times. So go answer some and you just might be on a future episode. But right now, we have our first call.
Hello.
Hi, Niveo. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What treasured story about your mom are you sharing with us today?
I'm going to tell you about the time that my little sister went to go see our parents for Christmas, and they weren't home. She was going through their room, and she found a meth pipe in a box in their room.
Wait, okay. Okay. How recently was this?
Okay, this was 2018, so it was some time ago.
I say that because, like, I'm assuming your little sister in this story is an adult. Like, she's at college or something?
Well, okay, let me give you a little backstory.
Okay.
So this is my dad and my stepmom. So technically this is my stepsister. And at the time, I would say she was probably 16.
Okay.
Our parents have been drug addicts our entire lives. So it's like nothing really new for us, unfortunately. It just happened to catch us off guard because, you know, addict parents, they tell you they're sober. Most of the time they're not. It's just, you know.
Oof. Damn. So where was your sister that she had to come home from? Like, I know that that's not like a major part of the story. I'm just confused why your stepsister would come home for Christmas and then look through your parents' room.
I think that she had just like stopped by to say hello. Why she was going through their stuff, that I'm not 100% sure. We were shithead kids.
No, that's, and like, weren't we all, girl? I mean, hi, you're calling into the HQ of shithead kids.
Right,
but
right.
I just didn't know if that was like a common thing. Like, I, although maybe that is a more universal thing than we think, because I remember sometimes going through my parents' closets. I don't know why, actually, now that I'm saying this out loud. Mom, if you're listening, I did not do that at all. Would never think of it.
Sorry, Mom. Wasn't him.
Okay, so what happened here?
So I lived with my grandparents at the time, and I'm hanging out at home as I do, and I get a text message. It's got all of my siblings in a group chat and my stepmom and my dad as well. And I get a picture and it says, the caption with it says, Merry Christmas. Couldn't be better. Thanks, Mom. And then there's the picture of this little black box. And she opens the box and there's a picture of the pipe in the box. And one of my other sisters comments and she says, dude, what the fuck? Are you at the house? Excuse my language. And my sister replies back. She says, I was about an hour ago. And I said, that's wild. My other sister said, you broke it, right? And she said, it's not easy to break. And my...
Wait, so all of the siblings are blowing up the group chat, talking amongst yourself, and your parents haven't chimed in once?
Haven't chimed in yet. Nope.
And so the main sentiment seems to be that you are all very angry and disappointed because you were being told a lie.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So then my little sister proceeds to say, I left it there. Breaking it won't break her addiction.
I mean, okay, Aristotle, you fucking better do your big one with that in the family group chat.
And I said, well, she's in here, so we'll find out very soon.
You guys talking about your mom as if she's not there when it's literally a group chat.
Yeah, this is something we did quite often because we knew that there was no way that they could get out of it. If we were all in a group chat, they had to say something eventually, you know?
I mean, they could also just leave.
They could. You're so right about that.
And like part of me feels like they're the type of parents that would.
They are. Yep, they are. However, we do get a response. This goes on for a while, me back and forthing with my sisters. She said there was some guy there named Rob, but neither of our parents were there. I said, I don't ever know anyone's name. I don't care enough to ask. There's too many people. And then my stepmother finally replies. She says, you know, you guys are dicks, right? What a disgusting way to act, especially coming from a place of concern. The heartbreaking thing is that as children of drug dependent and addict parents who have all participated in treatment type programs as well as recovery based programs shouldn't be doing stuff like this.
I mean, like, yeah, I guess like she has a point. Like, I mean, I don't know the full extent of y'all's history of any of this, but like there's no way she's gonna turn into like a little American gymnast at the Olympics and then flip this over on y'all.
Right.
That's,
yeah, and it's
crazy.
It did get flipped onto us because it was not brought from a place of concern, but from us being assholes about it, which is kind of true. But also, we knew that nothing was going to fix the situation, so it didn't really matter how we approached it.
Well, let me ask you, like, have you guys tried the respectful, the patient route, the caring and understanding route, like the way that she's talking about wanting in this situation? I'm assuming you have.
We have tried every route. This was, what, 7-8 years ago? They are still in the same place that they were then, now, today.
I see. Okay, I mean...
So, it's not that we haven't tried every route possible. We have.
I figured you did, for the record. I just needed to make sure before I talked my shit.
That we're just attacking them first. And
no, and I mean, like, I didn't think you were. I just wanted to make sure that, like, okay, you guys had put your best foot forward a few times at least.
Chris, we've tried it all. Oh, man.
I'm sure. What happens after she gaslights y'all into feeling bad?
Well, the sister that found it, she said, "We're dicks?" With a laughing face. And then my stepmom ended up leaving the group. My brother came to her defense.
Saying what? What the fuck could brother have been saying?
Brother said, "You guys, it's one thing to care and to be mad, but a group chat to shame someone, that's wrong. We are a family. Some of us are more involved than others, but that's not our concern."
Like the way I see it, wrong answer. Like,
he said, "Dad is just as bad. I'm sticking up for mom because that's our mom." And then it got emotional. He got really philosophical and deep about it. It wasn't ever supposed to be anything serious, because us girls know that it's never that serious. But at the time, he felt that he needed to come to her defense, which I get. It's his mom. But we were trying to make it lighthearted and funny. It wasn't ever anything serious, says.
But also, like, isn't it also your stepsister who found its mom?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So, like, why does he get a pass because it's his mom? It's, like, also her mom, and she's pissed off that she's been lied to.
Right. Yeah.
Which, like, if you think about it, if you take the drug and addiction aspect out of it, if someone's lying to you and you catch them lying, I think shaming them in a group chat is, like, pretty generous.
I think it's pretty generous, too. And, I mean, not for our parents, but, God, I got a laugh out of it. So I get a laugh out of it still to this day, you know?
So how did this end?
Well,
your mom left the chat.
And if you want me to be really honest, the sister that found it ended up doing drugs not long after.
No.
She's sober now.
Okay, period.
Her life is on a much better path, but she did end up doing drugs not very long after that. Really, there's not much to say. Our parents still do drugs.
How did your parents, respond when they found out your little stepsister was then doing drugs?
Well,
Or did they, not even know?
Yeah, oh, they knew, and they did drugs with her.
No.
Yeah, and then my stepmom and my sister ended up going to prison together, and...
Wait, I feel like that's something that sounds like it's about to get brushed over. What?
So... Yeah, I would say probably a year and a half after all of this happened, my sister unfortunately fell into a dark path. Her father moved his whole family to Boise. She was 17 at the time, and she didn't have anywhere to go. The only place she had to go was with my stepmother, her mother.
Oh, God.
She needed a place to be, and she eventually ended up falling into it as well, and it caught up to her, and my stepmom was already in prison, and she ended up following suit.
Oh, okay, so they didn't get, arrested at the same time?
Together? No, they did not.
Oh, okay. Now, I didn't mean to divulge into family history. I thought, they did, some baddie mother-daughter spree, and that to me sounded exciting, but
that would be crazy. No, they went at separate times, thank goodness.
Did they go to the same jail?
They did go to the same prison, yes.
Who got out first?
My stepmom got out first, and she immediately started her shit back.
Ugh, I was just thinking, that must have been such a good, I mean, difficult, but for herself, good detox.
Yeah, you would think.
Damn.
You would think. So she's back in it, and my sister is a year and a half sober, and she's doing amazing today. She had a baby in addiction. She was given up for adoption, but she has her baby back now.
Oh my God. What a beautifully happy ending. I mean, all things considered,
we're all adults, so I mean, whatever our parents do is on them at this point. It is what it is, and I still have my step siblings to this day, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Period. That is like such a beautiful way to look at it. I mean, like, that situation sounds dark in every way imaginable. And the fact that you're able to be like, well, at least I've got my girls, like, that is such such a beautiful way of deciding to look at this.
We make light of it. You know what? We have decided that this is what it is. Our parents are who they are. And if there's one thing we can make good amongst ourselves, it's keeping each other in line and keeping each other in check. So that's what we do.
And I think a lot of people will resonate with that, because like I
hope so.
Addiction is a like very, as I'm sure you very well know, a very serious, widespread disease.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, it's not just my stepmom and my father. It's also my biological mother, my stepdad too. I got all four parents are active drug addicts. So
honestly, like, I'm proud of you for like holding your own and like choosing to break the cycle.
Thank you. Like, I really do appreciate that.
Good for you. That, I mean, I can't. I mean, like, I'm the drug pusher in my family, so like, I can't imagine having four parent figures and like having to be the adult.
Yeah. And I'm not at all hoping that anyone can relate, but I'm hoping that if there is someone out there that does relate, that they hear that it's not all bad, you know?
Yeah, it seems like you've really come to terms and like are at peace with it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's nothing I can do about it, you know? It's just gotta hold your own.
You really do. And like, that is real life shit right there. Wow. Like, not necessarily a super funny story, but like, I think a very real one. That at the beginning of this episode, I just gave a spiel about like how much I admire and like love all of the good mothers out there. And I had a very like absent father.
Yeah.
And like, I know what it's like to have a parent not be there. Obviously, it's a very different scenario.
Right.
But to like not have a parental figure is tough when you look around and everybody has or seems to have these very functional relationships and families.
And I was worried about this Mother's Day episode because I was like, I was nervous that you were going to want a loving story about my mother, and I don't have any loving stories really about either of my mothers.
And like, I'm deeply sorry that you don't, because like my mom is like my best friend and like I do, but I think that this is a very realistic situation. And I brought up my dad because it's like on Father's Day, I don't have the same Father's Day that everybody else is out there having. And
right.
So like, I think to have the duality of something like Mother's Day that always is just like, woo, good moms, we love moms.
And that's
mom.
What I was hoping for.
And I love that. I mean, like, it's definitely a heavy start to the episode, but like, it's a very real one. And that's what I love about Chris vs. the People, is that while I don't necessarily relate completely to your story, I know that there are going to be people out there who do. And like, not to sound gay, but I think they'll feel a lot of comfort by this.
Right. And I hope people take it really lighthearted. It's not, you know, it's not supposed to be anything serious. It's not super serious. We, you know, like I said, we get a kick out of it now. So it's not.
But it's also your situation to get a kick out of, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you how you should be feeling and acting and.
Absolutely.
All of this about your situation that I have nothing to know about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if that works for you, I think I'm a big believer in laughing instead of crying, because, I mean, otherwise I'd just be crying literally all the time. But I think however you're able to cope with it and that works for you, fuck yeah. So thank you so much, though, for sharing such like an intimate aspect of your life with us.
Thank you, Chris. I hope that everyone out there that's listening that has tumultuous relationship with their mother can, you know, listen and relate or feel however they feel.
And what's special now is that you get to celebrate Mother's Day in a whole different way with your stepsister and her daughter. And, like, your stepsister being a mother. Like,
right.
It's almost like your parents showed you everything not to be, you know?
You're so right.
So that you can now celebrate Mother's Day in a functional way with functional people.
I think the lack of having a motherly figure has pushed my relationship with women so much harder. I have so many women in my life that I love and look up to and honor and cherish and appreciate now because I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I'm very, very grateful for all of the women and mothers that I do have in my life today.
Period. Truly nothing better.
So that's what I got for you, Chris.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and, you know, celebrate your sister and her daughter. I hope that you guys have a wonderful Mother's Day. And yeah, just thanks so much for sharing.
Yeah, celebrate your mom. Give her a big kiss.
I will, obviously. Duh. But thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chris. It was so good to talk to you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Damn. I hear stories like that, and it's really made me... I used to be like, moms are the best. And then, like, I would hear stories where some moms aren't, and it's like, it's changed my vernacular, so I say good moms are the best, because... Like, it's just, to me, it's so heartbreaking to know my relationship with my mom. And that, like, to me, that is such a given. Like, I take that shit for granted. And, like, hearing stories like the last call we just had really reminds me to, like, even something on that granular of a level is so magical. And I'm just so grateful for it. And it, like, makes you realize that you should be grateful for it. So thank you so much to Nevaeh for sharing that. And we have our next caller. Now, before we get to our next call, I'd like to thank today's sponsor, which is Upwork. When it comes to scaling a business, it takes the right expertise at the right time. And Upwork helps growing teams quickly bring in specialized freelancers so you can move faster and take the business to the next level. If you don't know, Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. Upwork helps grow your business by giving you fast access to specialized talent across over 125 different categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. And with Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork. Thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. It's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. Another amazing thing about Upwork is that it also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place, which means that you can spend more of your time running your actual business than worrying about all this stuff that you may not even understand in the first place. So visit upwork.com/Clemens right now and post your job for free. That is upwork.com/Clemens to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. Again, that's upwork.com/Clemens, upwork.com/Clemens. Alrighty, the phone's ringing. Let's get to that call.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What magical little story about your mom are you telling us today?
So I think I put in that my mom had told me I was Hispanic, but the story is actually a lot more than that.
Wait. Your mom gaslit you into thinking you are Hispanic?
Well, it was to cover her own ass, so yes.
Okay, yeah, I would definitely love to understand why. Do you have a relationship with your mom now?
I do not, no.
Okay, wow, no. This is turning out to be a really big bummer of a Mother's Day episode.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Okay, so why did she, what happened here? I'm sorry, I've never heard a sentence like that before in my life.
No, it's so good. Okay, so I grew up in Nevada with my parents, right?
And suddenly this all makes sense.
My dad is like Mexican and my mom is Welsh. So like my whole life, I'm like, okay, half white, half Mexican, right? You know, and I also had like a really like rocky childhood. Like my parents did not have a very happy marriage at all.
Cheers to that. Mine neither.
Oh, yeah. So about the time I was like 14, I found out my parents were getting a divorce. And I'm like, okay, Slay, I'm tired of hearing this shit anyways. Like, fair enough.
Very that. Hard agree.
So maybe like a week after before I actually get into this part, like I was very close, or I still am actually, but like very close to my dad's side of the family. Like I fully grew up in Hispanic culture.
Well, because he's Mexican, correct?
Yeah. So fully grew up in that culture. Like I speak Spanish.
Well, okay. So if you're half white and half Mexican, does that not make you Hispanic?
So that's what we're getting to.
Okay, got it. Sorry. I mean, like, I am just,
no,
like, as fucking 100% white as it gets. So, like, I'm not used to, like, I don't know anything about being half anything except, like, half Eastern European and half Northern European.
Oh, no, you're so good. So that's why I said this, like, there's actually a lot more to this story. So maybe, like, a week after I like find out that my parents are getting a divorce, I get a DM on Instagram from this white lady, and she's like, hey, like, we're your aunts, we've been looking for you, reach out to us when you can. I'm like, what the fuck, that's weird. I'm like, what?
And you've never met these people, heard of these people, etc.?
No idea. It's like two random ladies from Kentucky. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay,
that's so spooky.
So I tell my mom about this, and she's like, oh, it's probably just like a scam or something, like just don't even answer it, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, like that makes sense, like you're clearly the adult here, so.
Yeah, and like, why would you lie to me?
Yeah, exactly. So like an hour later, she starts just like coming at me, like she's going ballistic. She's like, I know you've been sneaking around on that fucking phone, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something, give me the phone right now. And I'm like, what the fuck, I thought we were having a good day. Now, I will say, like, I was a fucking demon of a teenager, so I was doing some shit on my phone, but, like, she had no idea.
That's what being a teenager is for. Everybody's a piece of shit as a teenager. Like, hello? It's, like, what teenager means in Latin.
I was pretty bad, but, like, yeah, no, I don't even know what I had, but like, I'm like, what the fuck? But like, we were having a good day. What the hell is it? So she takes my phone away, right? I don't see this phone for like a couple of days. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just fucking living my life. And one day she calls me into her bedroom. And I'm like, all right. So I go in there and she's like, hey, we need to talk about something. And I was like, okay, what's up? And she goes, so I don't really know how to tell you this, but dad. So I was like, yeah, what about dad? You guys are getting divorced. She goes, that's not your dad. Like, I'm sorry. And she's like, yeah, that is not your biological father.
And up until this very point, you were under the impression that he was.
I've never been told otherwise. I have only been told that that was my biological father.
What in the fucking Maury show is happening?
So I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're like, I came in here to hopefully get my phone back. What is all this?
She was like, yeah, so that lady that DM'd you on Instagram, that is your aunt. That is, because like before this, I'm thinking to myself, like whenever I got that message, I'm like, I have met all of my dad's siblings and he doesn't even have a sister. So this is so weird, right? I don't even know anybody in Kentucky. I've never been to that state. So weird. But she's like, yeah, so that lady is your aunt and you have, like, this is your biological father, and starts showing me photos of this white man that I've never seen before a day in my life. And she's like, oh, yeah, and you've always wanted a sister. He has another daughter. You have a sister.
What the fuck is this? Show and tell? I mean, why? What? She's like, and guess what? I made your dreams come true because you do have a sister. What? She's saying this like she is like literally making your wish come true. Like she is a fucking fairy godmother.
Oh, she's fucking Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm like my whole fucking life too.
Like, yeah. How do you react to this? Like how, like, I can't even like picture being told this information and like knowing how to respond.
So surprisingly enough, like I think I actually handled it pretty well, sort of. But like as far as like I wasn't too overly emotional about it, I did start to like act out more after I found out because like I don't know who wouldn't.
Well, I mean, yeah, your entire life just got flipped up on your head. Oh my God, you have the same 23andMe as me, probably. I would be pretty devastated, too, to find out that I'm not actually 50% white. I'm 100%.
So I find all this information out, and she was like, oh, do you want to meet him? And I'm like, fucking obviously. Like, what kind of question is that? You know what I mean? So eventually I met him. I met my siblings, like, met my whole family out there, and, like, we have a great relationship. I actually still talk to my, I guess technically my stepdad, but he is my dad. Like, he raised me.
Oh, okay. You're okay. Got it. So you still have a relationship with the guy who you thought was your dad for the first 14 years of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. He raised me. That's still my dad.
Gotcha.
And my bio dad is my dad too. Like he has done since he's been in my life. He has done so much for me. Like he's been still living amazing family. Like I was very blessed in that. Eventually, I got the story of what happened. I saw that. Apparently, like, you know, my mom meets my dad. My dad was in the Air Force at the time. And he, I guess when they met, they dated. Next, you know, one thing led to another, and she got pregnant. Well, in the midst of her getting pregnant, my biological dad, he got sent out to Germany, you know, fulfilling his, like, military duties.
Yeah.
And she just was like, well, baby needs a dad, and just kind of, I guess, decided. She started dating my stepdad when she was about 5 months pregnant with me, and he has been in my life since then.
So does your biological dad, was he aware that his pregnant wife...
Girlfriend.
Oh, girlfriend. Okay. That did they, like, break up officially?
I'm not exactly sure what happened with that. There are multiple different versions of what happened.
Got it.
Yeah, it seems that my grandparents were probably involved in some way. But from what I do know, my biological dad found out that I now had a stepdad the day I was born.
Ooh. So your dad, your biological dad knew that his girlfriend was pregnant with his kid?
Yeah, he was aware.
So the part where he gets deployed and she starts dating a new man, that's where, like, the murkiness begins.
Yes, it does. And there's a lot of murkiness about a whole lot of other things with it. Just from what I understand, like, they kind of went back and forth. Like, there was a little love triangle thing going on for a while there. Until one day, my mom just decided to just, like, clean house and completely not give my dad any of the information, and he was just kind of stuck looking for me for like years.
Oh my God, that poor guy.
But now I actually live in Kentucky with them. I live by myself, but I live in that area. I have a great relationship with my family. I still have a great relationship with my other dad and that side of the family too. But yeah, that's why my mom pretty much told me I was Hispanic. It was just kind of to cover her own ass.
Oh my God. That's like when she told, like, I guess if I was born and that was just the father figure I knew my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't question, like, am I Hispanic? I look pretty white.
Yeah, no. Well, the other thing is, too, it kind of worked out really well for her because I have two brothers from my, you know, my stepdad and my mom, and they both look very white, but they are his children.
Oh. I mean, one of my best friends is Hispanic and is, like, whiter than me. So, like, I do understand that, like, you can be just, like, Caucasian passing. Are your mom and your stepdad still together?
No, absolutely not.
Tea. Okay, so it's just you and your two dads now.
Pretty much.
Fuck
and
yeah.
And I have, like, all my siblings. Yeah, all my siblings. But yeah, that's pretty much what happened with that.
Wow. Oh, my God. I mean, did you have, like, a crisis after all of this? Like, did you, like, have, like, an identity crisis or something? Or were you just like, holy shit, that was crazy, and then just get moved on?
I don't know if I necessarily had, like, an identity crisis. I think I was going through so much additionally with that scenario that, like, that it was just sort of, like, compacted onto it, and I was dealing with everything. I don't think that I really had, like, a true identity crisis until I joined the Navy myself when I got out of high school. And then I was like, what the fuck is my culture? Like, I don't even know who I am.
So it was, like, delayed almost. Cause, like, I can't imagine growing up and, like, my whole life, like, okay, speaking personally, like, being told I'm German, like, I can't imagine, like, at some point into my, like, conscious, fully formed brain being told, like, hey, you're actually, like, Middle Eastern. Or, you know, like, that would be such a, that just would tear reality for me. That, like, I just was curious if, yeah, that, like, fucked you up at all. But it seems like it did in a delayed way.
Yeah, it kind of did, especially because, like I said, I did, like, a DNA test. So come to find out, I'm actually white and Persian, which I think also kind of helped a little bit because I do have darker features. I just have colored eyes. So, yeah, like, and then when you get into the military, like, really any branch, you have so many people from so many different cultures that are, like, coming together into this one small space. And everybody kind of just has this, well, at least sense of where they come from. And I just wasn't exactly clear on that. Like, I felt like the culture that I did have, even though it was mine, it wasn't truly mine. And that just became very apparent when I met all these people who, like, really did know.
Yeah, and you're meeting all these people and they're asking you questions to get to know you. And you're like, holy shit, I don't think I know me.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea. Like,
That's very so wild.
Confusing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You should, like, make this into a movie or something. I'm not even kidding. Like, that, I've never heard anything like that.
I would have a lot of material for sure.
I know. You would have, like, a whole, like, trilogy. You'd have a franchise, baby.
Oh, yeah. Because that's not even, like, I think that's probably one of the biggest points in my life. But, oh, honey, let me tell you, I got a lot more stories.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That was wild.
Yeah. I told you you'd have questions.
I did have questions. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and wow.
Thank you so much. I hope you do too.
Thank you. Bye. Wow. I did not intend for this Mother's Day episode to be reliving borderline trauma for these people. I was thinking, here we are sharing some funny, giggly, hee hee ha ha's about our moms. And I'm not saying that because I'm, like, mad or disappointed or feel any type of way. I think it's very cool to be able to sit here and have people feel comfortable enough to talk about their story again, because I think, I mean, I honestly am curious, are there people who relate to that last call? Because I'm trying to think if I've heard anything like this that wasn't like a Netflix documentary or something. And like, I've just never heard someone, like a parent, lie to their kid about who they are. That is so wild. I mean, like, I'll jump in with like a funny story about my mom. There was one Mother's Day where growing up, like my mom loved to like play outside with us. Like my mom was very athletic when she was younger. And so like she loved playing sports with us in the backyard, whether it was like soccer or football or anything. So we had this one Nerf football, and it was like a normal little foam football, like a mini one with like it was a blue, and then it had like an orange tail, and when you threw it, it made like a whistling sound. So we were doing that in the backyard, and my backyard growing up was like long, so to me as a kid, it felt like it was so huge. I mean, it was a big backyard. Anyways, I was like, my mom was by our deck, and I was like, I would say in the back half of the backyard, and she was throwing a football. I'll never forget this. It was Mother's Day. It was like around sunset. I remember the sky being this like gorgeous pinky blue, light purple, and my mom throws the football. One of my brothers was in the middle, and we were throwing it to each other and he was trying to get it. And my mom throws the ball, and I remember it being so much like higher than I was. So I jumped up to try and catch it. And all that I got was the ball hitting my pinky finger and bringing it all the way back to my arm, which like if you're watching the video episodes is quite a distance that I guess I was maybe a little more flexible back then. But I literally, my mom broke my pinky finger on Mother's Day. And so we finished off Mother's Day that year in the hospital. Grah. And yeah, that's my quick little mom story. But we have our next caller.
Hello.
Hi, Danny. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. Now, in honor of Mother's Day, just having passed, what fun little story are you bringing to us about your mom?
So I am bringing you the story of how I found out that my mom is a swinger.
right. Okay. Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay. So we'll start out with like the beginning of like how this came to be.
Like, how old were you when this story takes place?
So while she was being a swinger, it was happening like while I was like 14 till I was like 18 when I left home. I don't know what if it happened after I was 18, but I found out it was happening at 18.
Oh, and you had no idea it was something that was going on?
No, I had no idea. I mean, I had like little inklings of like something weird was going on.
You were like, wow, mom, why do we have so many upside down pineapples around the house?
Yeah, I was like, what's going on here? New decorations or what? Like,
wait, did she actually have upside down pineapples? Is that a real thing?
Yes, she did. She actually had them.
Did you think anything of it at the time, being like, why is this pineapple upside down?
No, I was just like, this is like a weird decision on her part for decoration.
You're like, mom, just be normal and get a live, laugh, love sign like the rest of these bitches from Home Goods.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so you found out like 4 years after the fact. Walk us through it.
Okay, so this happened when I was 18. I was living with my mom's ex-best friend. So she was my mom's best friend up until the point that I ran away. I ran away about like 2 weeks after I graduated high school. So this is like June of like 2017.
Okay, so you ran away and lived with your mom's ex-best friend.
Yeah, I was living with her before I went to college for the summer. So
okay.
She took me in. And so one day I'm just like sitting on the couch, just hanging out at the house. And she drops this paper in my lap. And I'm like, what is this? And it's like a screenshot of like a Facebook page. And it's like something about swingers, like a Facebook page for swingers. Like they all like get on the Facebook page and like come together. And it's like a screenshot of my mom asking for like a couple to come join her and my stepdad. And I was like, what is this? And my mom's best friend, well, she's not her best friend anymore, but she's like, oh my God, you don't know about this? And I was like, no, what is this? And she's like, your mom is a swinger with your stepdad. I was like, what?
Did you know what that was when she told you?
Like, no, I didn't. I was like, so what's a swinger? And she was like, oh, they like have sex with like other couples and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what?
Okay. Like, I get you're 18. I get like, you've seen some shit, but like, this is wildly borderline inappropriate for this woman to be telling you all this.
Right, right. And she was telling me like how my stepdad had asked her, like the best friend, to like join them at one point, and how she thought it was weird. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why she decided to tell me about it one day, but she was like, I'm just putting it out on the table for you.
Well, like, I think it's one thing to tell someone something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's another thing to, like, pretend you're on a sitcom and drop, like, a fucking folder on somebody's lap and be like, take a look at this, and it's about your own fucking parents. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah, that's... Honestly, if you knew her as a person, you'd like...
It would make sense.
Yeah.
I like have those people from my past that I'm like picturing being this person. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. So you find out this information. Are you like... You've clearly run away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So like you already feel a type of way about your family. Do you find this funny? Do you find... Like, are you traumatized? Like...
I guess I was like a little traumatized. My mom and my dad had originally divorced because my dad had claimed my mom was cheating on him. I don't know if it was true or not. And then I was kind of like putting the pieces together because like my mom and my stepdad sat my little sister and I down at one point while we were living there. And they were like, you need to be out of the house at the same time, the same day on the weekends. And you need to let us know ahead of time when you're going to be out so we can plan like when we have people over. But we were like, why can't you have friends over when we're over?
Because mommy is Tarzan and she's a swinging baby.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so I was just confused. I was trying to process everything. And I was like, man, that's why. But so many of these things happened, and like I saw like men messaging my mom on Facebook. Like I would use my mom's phone for like whatever reason, and I would see like guys messaging her. Like they'd pop up from Facebook Messenger, and they would be like messaging her sexual things, and they'd be like, "Why? This isn't my stepdad. Like, why is he okay with this?"
So it made a lot of different things click.
Yes, exactly.
Whoa, that I really like. I don't know how I would feel at 18 having heard that my parents were swinging. Well, at 18, my parents got a divorce. So I would definitely be shocked to hear that they were swinging.
Yeah.
But like, I just, because like on one hand, it's not anything that really like changed. Like, I don't know how to say this. Like, it's not something that's like someone cheated or like it's both parents are in on it. It's something they do in their own private time. So like, I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but just like as their kid, it's like so weird to know that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really want to know that. And the best friend told me like they would go to like the porn shops that have like the theaters in them and like have sex in front of people there. And she was just telling me like everything like that. So it was just kind of like I saw like a whole new perspective of my mom kind of thing. I was like, this is something I want to know, but now I know, I guess.
Do you have a relationship with your mom now?
No, I haven't spoken to her since 2017, so.
So you have no idea what she's up to. Got it.
No.
Damn, that, this Mother's Day episode is fucking nuts. This is the most fucking Chris Clemens Mother's Day episode. We've had 3 calls and not one of y'all has a relationship with their mother. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, when you called me, I was like, damn, this is the episode he chooses for me.
Oh, wow. I didn't choose this. My producer put this together. And producer, we might be having a word. I'm like, uh-oh. Wow, that is truly... a wild story. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I literally listen to you every week when you posted a podcast episode. I'm on your Patreon. Like,
oh my God, stop.
I subscribed since like 2019. I've showed all my friends in college you, and I was like sad. I'd like pull up a video. So you've just been a huge part of my life.
Oh my God. I just like got chills. That is, I will just never like fully be like, oh yeah, totally. Like that to me is like crazy that I have that much of an impact on anyone, especially after hearing a story like this. Like to know that I provided comfort and like consistency really does mean a lot. So thank you. And I'm very honored to have done that for you.
Yes, of course. You have like the best group of people that follow you. And
I really do.
All ride or die for each other.
I really do. Like the community that I've built, especially with Chris First, the people, like I talk about it often at what a community we have created, half through Patreon and like half through Chris versus the people in this instance. But it just really, I feel so lucky to have the people that I have. And I just want to thank all of you, honestly, for being a part of it.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you. And honestly, I'm so excited to listen to this episode.
The feeling is so mutual on both of those. I am very curious to see how this episode turns out. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, I'm not laughing because people don't have relationships with their moms. I'm laughing because we are 3 for 3 for a Mother's Day episode. Okay, let me give you guys an idea of how this show is put together. Our producer goes through the submissions and finds things that are like, finds thematic threads between all of y'all's submissions. She does a great job. She's amazing. I am by no means like actually shitting on her. I was just simply like finding it funny that literally she was like, I have a Mother's Day episode for you. It's going to be so perfect. Oh my God. I'm not laughing that people don't have relationships with their moms. I'm laughing that like this is the most fucking Chris Clemens version of a Mother's Day episode ever. Oh God. Anyways, we have our final call of the episode.
Hello.
Hey Lauren, welcome to Chris vs. the People. What story about your mom are you bringing us today?
All right. So I'm going to be telling you about the time that I very accidentally hit my mom with a car. A small SUV, if you will.
Babe, I would have just left it at car. What?
A very small, you know.
Okay.
2011.
Okay, sure. Whatever you have to tell yourself to sleep. Now, when you listen to the episode, this question will make a lot of sense. But do you have a relationship with your mom still?
I do. I'm actually, my mom's about to join me. I'm at the museum with my mom and my sister right now. We went to go see a special art exhibit.
Oh, that's so cute that your mom still hangs out with you after you hit her with a car.
She did tell me that I was the only person that could hit her with a car that she'd forgive. So
so suck on that, your other sister. Wait, so how did you accidentally hit your mom with a not car, but a small SUV?
So basically what happened was, picture it, it's January 2012. I had just started my first semester of college, and I was like, I need to learn how to drive. And at this point, my mom's husband, my stepdad at the time, Jeff, was teaching me how to drive. And he is like really chill. He was a Marine for a really long time. And so when I was in the car with him, very calm guy. And I had driven to and from school with him a couple of times. So I felt really, really confident. I was like, I've got this in the bag. And so we had gone to lunch with my sister and our family. And we come back and my mom said, I need to park the car in the garage. I said, I can do it. Because, you know, when you want to learn how to drive, you want to get behind the wheel as much as possible.
Yeah. And also, like, you want to show people, like, hey, I'm fucking cool. I'm driving. Like,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, Mom, look what Jeff has been teaching me. I'm so awesome. I'm trustworthy.
Exactly.
Correct. So my mom decides, because it's a one-car garage. Like I said, small SUV, and we have stuff in there. So she's like, it's a tight squeeze. That's what she said. So she said, "Satya Squeeze, let me just conduct you coming into the garage." I said, "Okay." So I'm sitting in the car. She's in front conducting me. And I put the car in drive and I just kind of let it coast.
What do you mean coast? Because I'm picturing you driving a car into a garage. What do you mean you're fucking coasting? Like, that's something I'm doing like 3 hours into a long drive is coasting.
Right. So I just like, I tapped gas and then I just let it like slowly crawl. Like my feet are not on the gas and they're not on the brake. They're kind of hovering above.
Okay.
Which isn't probably the best thing.
No, hitting your mom with a small SUV is the worst thing.
Yeah, right. So it's hovering above. And then all of a sudden, I'm like halfway in, and then my mom screams at me. She's like, "Wait, stop the car, stop. And I, knee-jerk reaction, I like slammed my foot down. Well, I didn't slam it on the brake, Chris. No. I slammed my foot real hard on the gas, and it went.
Is that your mom laughing in the background?
Yes, laughing in the background.
Oh, this is incredible. You fucking put the pedal to the metal and hit your mom in your garage?
Uh-huh. And then luckily, thank goodness it was not a load-bearing wall in the back. So it kind of pushed out into the deck instead of like hitting my mom with the car, basically.
No, it would definitely be a huge bummer if you hit your mom with the car and tore your house down. Like, that wouldn't be great.
I mean, that would just suck a lot. So thank goodness that didn't happen.
So you drove your mom through a wall?
She's underneath the car and like kind of out a little bit. But I didn't see her. So like, so picture this, hit the gas, boom, don't hear anything. And I am behind the wheel and my whole life flashes before my eyes. My mom and I are like best friends. We're very close.
Yeah, I think her life flashed before her very eyes.
Okay, but let's talk about me, Chris.
Okay, you're so right. Let's talk about you. Did you serve jail time for this young lady?
Well, okay, let me tell you. So my life flashes before my eyes. I think I killed my mom. She's not dead, though. She's right here. She's alive. She's
right here.
She's right here. But I do hear her from underneath the car being like, "Help, help." And so then an extra neighbor hears all this commotion and I like jump out of the car. I haven't parked it because I'm so scared of touching the car that I'm like, if I touch anything, it's not going to be the brake. I'm going to hit my mom with the car and she's going to super die.
Oh my God. There are tears coming out of my eyes.
I'm so glad.
Oh my God. This... This is the most fucked up Mother's Day episode ever. Jesus Christ.
And so he puts the car into park and then actually reverses it so my mom can like not be underneath the car, which is very nice of said man. So then I call ambulance. Ambulance comes, fire department comes, police come. And then the police officer, he's wearing mirror glasses, by the way. I'm sobbing. I am uncontrollably snot coming out of my nose, sobbing. I can't breathe. I can't talk. And
you're watching yourself do it in his mirrored sunglasses.
Correct. I'm looking at myself, snot running out of my nose, in his mirror glasses. And I'm like, I don't really have to. I just like, it just said this and then this. And then he's just like, very just sternly talking to me. And I'm like, I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail for like attempted murder of my mom and we're cool. And I was like, this sucks. I was just trying to fucking park the car in the stupid garage. Stupid.
So it's like,
it's really inconvenient for my life right now.
Does your mom have long-term damage?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. She, all the ligaments in her right knee tore. So she did have to get her ACL replaced. All the ligaments. So she did have to get her ACL. That was like the main one, or I guess all of them, replaced.
Oh,
with like cadavers.
Oh my God.
Because that's what they use. Did you know that?
No, I do know. One of my best friends has tore her ACL like 3 times.
Ooh,
I know,
honey,
way too much about ACL and ligaments and all those nasty fucking
words. Ligaments and all the things.
Whoa. So what did your neighbor say to all of this?
He didn't say say much. She just was there to like kind of help. I honestly, I don't remember a ton. I feel like I've kind of in and out of the memories a little bit, but I do remember the very nice fire department men trying to calm me down. And they were like, hey, listen, if your mom ever gets out of line, just let her know you can finish the job. And that actually did make me laugh a little bit, not gonna lie. Just so I'll finish the job. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God. Okay, one, what an incredible fireman. I'm about to donate to my local fire department. Two, you must have had the craziest two truths and a lie at college that year.
Oh, yeah. Craziest two truths and a lie in college, at work, anywhere. You know, just a little fun fact about me.
Oh.
Because I didn't drive until probably just about like 4 or 5 years ago. I had undiagnosed PTSD for a long time, and I finally like got behind the wheel and like drove, and now I'm fine. But I did feel horrible.
I mean, you ran your mom over in the garage.
Just a little.
Girl, just a little. Tell that to your mom. I mean,
here she knows.
She's the one with cadavers in her right now.
Oh, hold on. Because there's just a little bit more.
Okay, perfect.
We're getting in the ambulance. They won't let me in because I'm crying too much. So they tell me I have to buck up. And we get to the hospital. I call my grandma. I can't speak again. Can't talk. Call my grandma. I barely mumble out words. I got to call you back in a couple of minutes. I need to compose myself. My grandma thinks I've told her. All she heard was that I hit her with a car. She thinks my mom's dead. She thinks I've killed her daughter in cold blood.
You are really just giving everybody a day to remember.
Truly, a shock of a lifetime. And like, way to start out your new year. And then my mom called her and my grandma was like freaking out because, you know, she was dead.
Your grandma must have been so fucking confused to know that information from you and then get a call from your mom, who she thinks is dead.
Get a call and be like, from beyond. Yeah. I'm sure that was a shock to her.
This was just such a special, dysfunctional way to end this episode. Thank you so much for sharing this.
You're so very welcome. And you want to know something fun?
Always.
I believe truly to my core, this was my mom's fault. And that is a hill I will die on. And I know this because it is not her first incident where she is scared a brand new driver and they have driven into something. Because something very similar happened to my sister when she was learning how to drive. The only difference is that my mom was in the car instead of outside of it. But she did the same thing where she like screamed and then my sister drove through our newly converted living room.
Your house has been driven through not once, but twice?
It's a different house. It's fine.
I love whatever the fuck is wrong with y'all. Like, I really do. Like, you guys giggling through this whole thing is absolute perfection.
Mom, do you want to say hi?
Sure.
Hold on. I have you on speakerphone.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello to the victim. How are you feeling today?
Hey, just call me Lazarus, you know?
Wait, why? I'm too stupid to know that reference.
I rose from the dead, you know? I was dead and I came back.
Okay, just for the record, you weren't actually dead, right? You just had a torn knee thing?
Yeah, all the ligaments in my right knee were torn.
Do you have a favorite daughter?
And the funny part was the day that happened, I was wearing flip-flops. And when the neighbor moved the car off of me, all I saw was my flip-flops standing up. I didn't see my foot. And my reaction was, where the F is my foot?
Where was your foot?
It was to the side.
Oh. I was like, wait, where was your foot? Whoa.
It was off to the side.
Wow. So.
Yes.
So your daughter better be getting you some good ass Mother's Day gifts this year and every year.
Amen. Okay, well, we're going to stop this. She's fine. Like
well,
I said.
Listen, I'm not the one who hit my mom with the car, Lauren.
Whatever.
Thank you so much for sharing this. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Of course. Thank you for calling. I literally sat down and I was like, guys, you will not believe what just happened to me. And yeah, so I'm really excited that I could be a part of this episode.
I'm dead. This has been a fever dream of an episode. So buckle up when you do.
I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, God. Well, enjoy the rest of your day and I will talk to you soon.
I appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Y'all, I mean, I really... I don't know what to fucking say. I'm just still kind of in shock that both of that mother's daughters drove through their house. Granted, okay, it was two different houses. Still, that's kind of crazy. Now, if you're watching this episode on our YouTube channel, leave a comment of a wild story that involves your mom. And again, if you want to be on a future episode, be sure to fill out the form in the description of this episode. Rate this episode 5 stars and leave a nice little review. Be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts. And if I don't see you on the after show right after this, I will see you next week. Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.